Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Tony, and you're listening to Comic Conversations, episode 221, where we talk all things comics for the week of December 12th, 2018. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Alex. Alex, how are you doing today?
I'm rich.
That's not what I heard.
Who the fuck talked to you about my... Well, I will be Monday.
Yeah, when the check finally clears.
Bonus check, what's up?
Well, when the government's done taxing you.
Government already took the taxes out, and I still get a shit ton of money. However, let me say again, taxation is theft. The fact that they can tax me at such a high rate on bonuses, the government did nothing to benefit me in this. They did nothing to make money. In fact, the government made my company make less money because of bullshit DOT rules.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Did they tell you how much your bonus was and then tax it, or did they tell
you?
Yes.
Which made it worse. Like, they told us what the actual bonus was, and then on the check, you get to see what they fucking took out in taxes, and it's you look at it, and you're like, motherfucker, I get mad enough, you know, through the year normally, but in this, it's like, you motherfuckers. And by the way, state of Iowa, you took less, but you still took some. So you're on the hook too, you bastards.
Yeah, and bookkeeping, we did an exercise where we try to give someone X amount of money, but we try to calculate how much the tax would be so they would still get that X amount of money after the taxes were taken out. But the fact that they didn't even try. They're like, oh, we're going to give you X, and then you'll see whatever you see after taxes.
See, our company did the bonus based on a profit increase. Mm-hmm. And then they had a pool, and it was a couple $1 million, and then they divided it up among all the employees like equally. Mm-hmm. So they told us the amount, and then we all kind of did the math, and we're like, looked at our checks, and we're like, you motherfuckers.
Hey, since you're on your libertarian soapbox, I was actually reading a story on CBR. On how Ditko actively made sure, and this is here's the comic book tie-in. Ditko purposely didn't like when Spider-Man teamed up with other superheroes because he was like, "Well, because," and the CBR article felt the need to put him over the fact that he was an objectivist. He's like, "Well,
Ditko, okay, wait, let me explain this though. Ditko was not a libertarian; he was an objectivist, which is different."
Really, I always thought there was like a precursor, like there wasn't libertarian.
Objectivists, there weren't, but objectivists are way more hardcore. Like, objectivists are like, you can't even help other people.
Yeah, I remember reading about, what was it, Mr. A, where, like, the villain would get himself stuck in, like, a conveyor belt, and, like, because Mr. A, he couldn't help the villain get out, because then he'd be assisting him in his illegal activities, so if something happened to him, he would let him die.
Yeah, libertarians don't believe that everyone should be left to their own devices. They just don't think the government should take care of them.
No, but going back to the Ditko stuff, so he's like, well, if Spider-Man needed help to fight a supervillain, then what makes him so special then if he needs help?
There is...
And even when he was forced to, like, handwrite Johnny Storm, it would always be, oh, Johnny Storm and Spider-Man would team up, and they couldn't defeat Sandman, and it was a bunch of cops that wound up arresting Sandman.
Well, there is something to that, actually. The whole, if he's a superhero and he needs help, how super is he?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's kind of a story trope that shows how serious the threat is. This threat is so serious, he needs help. Sort of thing. Like, technically, in DC, like, Superman could beat everyone by himself.
He could.
But he doesn't. He has help.
But does he need it?
Technically, no. Unless they have kryptonite.
Coughlin always brought this the example. It's like, yeah, Superman could do everything, but let's say someone breaks into your apartment. Are you going to call the army to deal with it, or are you going to call the police?
Yeah. Well, it's called plot-induced stupidity. Mm. Characters cannot use their powers to the full extent because then the comics would have no drama. There'd be no story.
Or what people always bring up in the superhero movies now, it's like, I think the one was like an Iron Man 3. He's like, well, why doesn't he just have the Avengers help him?
Didn't they explain away like the Avengers were busy? They've done that in some of the other movies. Like, they explain why they're not always helping.
Mm-hmm.
So, in movies, at least, they try. It's like fucking Marvel movies are the complete opposite of WWE. Like, they actually explain everything.
Oh, yeah. Like a good guy, a babyface, will be beaten up. And none of his friends come out to help him.
No, that's because in WWE, babyfaces are nerds. They don't have any friends. None of them have any friends unless they're in a tag team.
No, they always show them in the backstage segments. They're all partying with the other baby faces, but as soon as they're getting beat down by a bunch of bad guys, there's no backup.
I know what you're talking about, but do you ever notice in those backstage segments, it's always like the fucking lower tier nerds? Like, it's never like the big stars. Like, you didn't fucking see John Cena and... who else? Fucking Seth Rollins in the backstage. It's always like Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder and shit. Like, nobody wants them to help anyway.
Well, to be fair, they want to do the whole thing of, they're fighting against the odds because you want to see them,
because they're supposed to be super tough.
As opposed to pro wrestling writer Vince Russo, who writes it, advantage baby faces or advantage good guys, where there's three good guys and two bad guys.
Well, the people cheer then because there's two more people to cheer for.
No, it's always like, oh, well, it's not fair. It's not a fair fight because there's three good guys versus the two bad guys.
Well, the bad guys need more people, though, because stupid.
Although if you read any superhero team book, it's always like seven guys versus one villain.
Well, but the villain's always really strong.
Yeah.
Or smart or something.
All right. I feel like we killed enough time. Let's move on to our first segment this week. News.
Undertaker, take me under oceans of fire. I'll be 20,000 blades of grass through the soil. Even a fucker. Undertaker, take me under oceans of oil. I'll be 20,000 blades of grass through the soil.
They swear.
I love the beginning of that song, and that's why I picked it. It's like where he's like, no, this isn't good. We need more.
That's like our show sometimes. I'll be like, no, I'll leave it in. It's funnier this way. Yeah, that's, let's see. Is the band 123 and the song Confetti?
The band is Confetti.
Confetti, okay. I hate Confetti. Just for the record. It gets everywhere.
They fucking did that at the meeting today at work. They came out with the little pooters.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Like where they... You know, they push him and the stuff comes when he announced the bonus money.
Yeah, that's not
they bad. Had fucking people positioned all around and they shot it up and I had all this fucking colored paper over myself.
That's no good.
And I was like, come on, I look like I'm at a gay rave or something here. What are you doing?
So any rave.
Or at a Ring of Honor championship match. Because... Don't they do that gimmick?
Yeah, I don't understand why they still do that. Like, when they brought in, like, Misawa and Kobashi, it made sense because that's what they did in All Japan. But it's like they're bringing in the New Japan guys and they're throwing the streamers and it's like nobody.
And they don't do that in New Japan.
No, they don't really. It's like an All Japan Noah thing and they're still doing it. It's really cringy.
Dalton Castle should, when he comes out, they should throw, like, purple glitter ribbons.
Oh, the best one was Jimmy Jacobs. Jimmy Rave. He was so bad they would do that spot but with toilet paper.
That's awesome.
It was great.
Love it.
All right, let's go into this week's news with our first top story. Marvel is teasing retconning the origin of the Fantastic Four.
I actually disagree with the term retcon. Sounds like they're adding to the story. Like, well, how that's they the got way their that's powers the way is not going to change. They're changing why they got their powers.
Yeah, they always do that in comic books, at least to sell stuff or get people excited or talking about stuff. Like, they'll have websites or websites will purposely write it in a misleading way. I think it was either comicbook.com wrote it as Marvel History Destroyed. It's like, wait, now I read that, I'm thinking, oh, are they finally going to reboot everything after how many years? And you read the article and it's just like, oh, so they're tweaking the origin of the Fantastic Four.
Right.
Can I explain my theory, what's going to wind up being?
Yes.
I guarantee you it's because the big teaser is who gave the Fantastic Four their power. And I guarantee it's going to be something like insignificant, like it was Doom, because when Reed was doing the calculations to go in space, he purposely sabotaged Reed, and that's how they got exposed to cosmic rays. Because you know how supposedly Doom blames Reed for the experiment that went wrong that messed up Doom's face? I imagine that they're going to justify it as like, well, Doom wanted revenge, so he sabotaged Reed's experiment to go into space, and Doom gave him the powers. Yeah. And it's like, oh, you're not really like, because when you hear retcon, you think they're taking away, but really they're just adding to what's already there.
Well, they never said retcon. You said retcon.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
That's just my theory.
They're trying to sell a comic. It's fucking, I'm so over this bullshit.
The problem is the people that should know better are pretending like this is a big deal.
Just fucking tell good stories. That's all you have to do. It's not rocket science.
Well, the problem with that is, as we've established before, like since, I don't know, I can't even tell you how far back it goes. Comic book has always thrived off gimmicks. Deaths.
In short term.
Deaths and rebirths and, you know, villains dying or something. Or people.
I know, right now they brought Wolverine back and they're killing Wolverine.
Well, they're killing
at the same time.
They're killing a Wolverine while bringing back the Wolverine.
Yeah, but they made the Wolverine have fucking fire hands.
And it'd be sad, but the fact of the matter is the comic book companies, they're sort of indifferent. They're like, well, we're not the idiots that buy this stuff, so that's more so on you. It's like, we're just trying to sell some paper here, and you guys are the goofballs that always fall for it.
Yeah, they're like fucking marks.
It's like, yeah, you make fun of the foil covers, but you guys always buy it. So
I have never bought a foil cover in my entire life. The only gimmicky comic book I have ever bought was Death of Superman.
I was about to say Death of
like
Superman.
It was shit, but at least it was a story.
Did you wear the armband?
No. No, and I didn't buy like fucking two and keep one in the bag. I fucking bought it and I opened it.
For a while, I was like that with the Death of Johnny Storm. I think I just bought the one and I was like, should I open this or should I not? And then I just caved in.
What would that? Did it come in a bag?
Yeah, it came in a baggie.
God, that's so stupid.
Oh, the worst one, which I actually did cave in and buy, was remember that terrible Age of Ultron story, and they were just looking to pop sales. So they're like, oh, this cover is so controversial, we have to put it in a black plastic bag so people can't see it on the shelves and get upset.
What was the cover?
It was just a giant Ultron fighting the Avengers.
How is that controversial at all?
Because they're trying to say, oh, like, if we show you this cover, you're going to get upset because we're doing something.
Nobody. Like,
yeah, I know.
The only thing that upset people about that series is that it existed.
How bad it was.
Yeah.
You heard the story of that. Originally, that was supposed to take place before Avengers vs. X-Men, but it was so bad that they punted it.
Avengers vs. X-Men wasn't good either, though.
Yeah, but compared to Age of Ultron?
Well, yeah, compared to Age of Ultron, everything was fucking better. Age of Ultron was completely pointless.
And the funny part is, you read that, and it's supposed to be an alternate present day. But then
they came to the present day.
No, but I'm saying the funny part was, they wrote Peter like he was just Peter, but meanwhile, in the current continuity, he was still Otto.
That's because fucking... Oh, shit, that reminds me. I got a fucking... My brother, for Christmas, I was going to get him comics. Because my brother loves comics, but he doesn't buy them. Mm. So I was thinking about getting him, like, Superior Spider-Man.
That's a really good story. I would buy him the first couple of trades because I feel like after a while, the story just went off the rails.
Yeah, I got to decide. I'll think about it.
So, like, the first two trades would probably be the way to go.
Okay.
All right, in our next new story, there's not much to say, but Alex insisted we talk about it just so I could play the drop.
You ruined it. You already ruined it, because I didn't get to say, Tony, we forgot to talk about Conan.
Hey, that was my pit.
We had another news story before this.
That's true. Well, let's pretend like that never happened. Or we'll do an OSW Spicy Spicy.
Let's do the Valiant story first.
Okay.
So Valiant has announced Breakthrough.
Oh, God.
Because Valiant does a relaunch every year.
This is how you know there's not much for this week's books when we're talking about a couple of new Valiant books.
It says Breakthrough is a boundary-shattering lineup of new number ones from Valiant that will serve as perfect jumping-on points for new fans while expanding the shared universe. It includes The Life and Death of Toyo Harada, the only one I will read, because he's the only character I still like.
He is such a great villain. I love him.
But he's apparently going to die in this.
If they make a movie out of anything from Valiant, he has to be the villain because he is so great.
He is. It's being written by the guy who did Harbinger, which they all love. A collection of artists who are just artists who have done other stuff. Like the guy who did Rye with the cool painted art. Ooh, he's doing nice issues. And then the guy who did Bloodshot Reborn, the guy who did Bloodshot Salvation, and Adam Polina, who did X-Force. So he doesn't really fit. And then they're doing a Punk Mambo title, which I will not read, because that character didn't do it for me. Fallen World, which I might read because it's written by Dan Abnett.
Oh.
Who I like, and it's only 5 issues, and it's apparently they're calling it an event series. And it's Rye. It's a Rye event written by Dan Abnett. So I will read that. And then the last one is called Killers. And it has Ninja K in it. And then other ninjas, possibly Ninja L, Ninja M. I don't know, but there's 3 ninjas. One of them has sunglasses, but a complete face mask, so he looks like Snake Eyes.
Nice.
One of them... his nose is more covered than Ninjax.
Is it?
And one of them is Ninjak.
One of them is Joe Shinobi.
No, because he doesn't wear a mask at all.
In the later editions, he does.
That wasn't Joe. That was like Joe's kid.
Even 3, Return of the Ninja Master?
I believe after the first one, they were all a different Shinobi.
Okay. What, maybe, Ryu from, Ninja Gaiden.
Mm-hmm. No, because none of the ninjas have complete purple outfits.
Ah.
Like Ryu did. It's not Ryu, it's Ryu.
Screw Ryu.
And it's not Gaiden, it's Gaiden.
You say potato, I say potato. Let's call ninja, the whole thing off.
Ninja Gaiden.
You're Ninja Gaiden.
You're Ninja Gaiden.
For some math.
Is that the end of news? Oh, wait. We almost forgot to talk about Conan.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
That fucking movie rules.
It's a shame he never ran for national office. Because he just could have ran that as a political ad.
He should have fucking done it in California.
Yeah, well, it's California. I don't think that would have flown.
You dumb motherfuckers in California voted for him anyway. It doesn't matter. Voted for him because he's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's true.
I would have voted for fucking Conan.
wait. Arnold doing Conan or pro wrestling luchador Conan or both?
I wouldn't vote for him. Conan the wrestler is an idiot, and he was never over with me. He couldn't make it in WWE, so he's never a real star.
He could have been like, Orale.
Ole vatos.
And he, hey, or he could have came out in the Max Moon outfit.
He fucking should have. Paul Diamond is better Max Moon than he ever would have been.
The best part about that story is that the guy's getting jealous because Conan spent so much time with Vince because of the Max Moon gimmick.
Okay, here's what I understand about that. The Max Moon deal, it covered your head, it covered your entire body, right?
Yeah.
And wasn't Conan's deal, he was like the only guy in Mexico who was on the juice?
But by then he had already like slowly started weaning himself off.
Because he was in WCW after that, and he was a big motherfucker.
Yeah, but like, he was even bigger, though.
Oh, okay.
So by then, he was already starting to get smaller. You have to keep in mind, the reason why he had the Conan gimmick is because he was ripped like Conan.
His original name was Conan El Barbario.
Yeah.
So he was just straight, because they can do that in Mexico. Because nobody pays attention up here.
Well, it's also, I think, they're owned by big television companies, and the television companies just pay whatever people ask.
Because
The thing is, like, all the luchadors, if you ever watch them on TV, they'll come out to real licensed musics. And it's just, they're owned by a giant TV conglomerate.
So they probably paid for the rights to the song at some point.
Yeah, because La Parca always came out to Michael Jackson's Thriller.
And as we know, their music's very important. We learned that from fucking Vampiro down there with "Hit my fucking music, hit my music." What the fuck is my music playing
for 5 minutes?
It's like, gee, I wonder if he's gonna get in the ring.
The height of professionalism.
Yeah, well, El Canadian Vampiro.
It's supposed to be a take on what was that Tom Cruise movie? Werewolf in London or something like that?
Okay, that's a different thing.
Yeah,
because Vampire Lestat was not yet a movie when he was doing that. Interview with Vampire was the thing.
Maybe
I think it was because he wore the white face paint and he was Canadian. So
yes, that was
Canadian Vampire.
That was predominantly the gimmick.
God, Mexico did not try hard at their gimmicks, did they?
No, well, you got to think who they're trying to appeal to.
Oh, wait, we never said. The whole point of that was just because I wanted him to play the Conan drop, because I like it. But Marvel has the publishing rights to Conan again, and they're going to do a new Conan series. And they'll probably let Charles Soule write it, so it'll be shit.
Let's see who's actually writing that. I want to look that up, because...
Have they said yet? Or have they just said they're doing Conan?
Because we talked about this last night. I got a Marvel solicitation book, and a great deal percentage of that was devoted to them doing Conan. And I remember all the covers were really nice.
They're probably going to put him in Weird World.
I don't know if they're going to do that necessarily.
Does that still exist?
No, they've since done away with that. I think that's what they were trying to make it do. Let's see. The Conan the Barbarian, blah, blah, blah. The Conan the Barbarian's eventual team-up could mean for the Marvel Universe. I don't know if that's going to happen. Let's see.
I don't want him in the Marvel Universe.
Well, he may
That's weird.
They may do that.
That's stupid. I don't like that.
No, neither do I.
By the way, we're wasting so much time because Tony didn't read the Sandman books.
Yeah, I was like, because the thing is, I can't just, like, well, I had a busy week this week, and then it's like, it's going to be hard to just, because the thing is, I can't, I read most of this week's books on my phone, and it's like, I don't freaking want to have to download all these books and then put them on my phone. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's two books, by the way, because it's trades.
Yeah, but they're like giant books.
Yeah, they're pretty big.
To blow on your phone?
I reread them.
Okay, the creative force on these is Jason Aaron and Mahmoud Azer.
It could be good.
And I forget who's doing the cover. Oh, the covers are by Asada Ribic. The guy who did...
Oh, yeah, he's good.
Well, as long as he's not doing people with their mouths wide open.
Well, Conan doesn't open his mouth.
That's true. I remember someone commenting on Doctor Strange. I'm like, he looks like a blow-up doll. And I'm like, you know what a blow-up doll's mouth looks like.
Nice.
All right. With that out of the way, let's go into this week's books. Mega Man music is kind of cliche at this point. Like, I've wanted to pick Castlevania music before in the past, but I'm like, it's a little on the nose.
Well, I keep picking Super Nintendo music, and I wanted to pick Nintendo music.
Ah, there you go. I thought about picking PC Engine Duo music, but I'm like, that's just CD music.
Well, yeah, but it's still video game music. Like, we played, like, Chrono Cross and shit before.
That's true. Do you ever hear that that song that sounds exactly like the Flashman theme?
The real song?
Yeah, the Spencer Davis Group song?
No. All right, but Electman theme sounds like Faithfully by Journey.
Yeah, like, listen to this. Very similar, if you ask me.
Well, he was called Rockman in Japan. So.
Oh, the worst one was, so he's Rockman and then his sister's Roll. So when they do the rip-off.
Oh, yeah, it's a pun.
When they do the rip-off of Mighty No. 9, it's Beck and Call.
Nice. Japan fucking loves that, though, don't they?
The puns, yes.
Yeah, they fucking love it. It's whatever, it's... I guess it might be more fun in Japanese.
It might be.
Yeah. Could be. I don't know. All right. I'm not sure.
Let's go over this week's very, 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 very small list. Batman Who Laughs, number one of six. Flash 60 and Fantastic Four Wedding Special, number one. Alex, do you care what order we go in?
Let's do... Fantastic Four Wedding Special.
Okay. Writer Gail Simone. We have a bunch of other creators.
Well, first story.
Yeah, the first story.
So, wait, I want to bitch about one thing. The Wedding Special did not have the wedding in it. The wedding is in the next issue of Fantastic Four.
I thought you knew that.
No, I didn't. I thought that, you know, the wedding... Like, this is something that's been going on for decades. So I thought, like, yeah, they're finally getting married, so let's fucking do a special issue. No, no. This was a lead-in to the wedding.
Remember, we this happened when we were doing the Kitty Pryde Colossus marriage, and they had the wedding special, and we did.
Yeah,
the
and
same
they
thing.
Didn't get married.
I assumed you knew that, but because it was such a slow week, you're like, "Yeah, let's just read it anyway." I didn't know you knew that because this was such a nothing book.
Well, it was good though. Like I actually liked all the stories in it. But there was no reason to read it except for stupid mole men spoil intimate and tasteful sex dance. Hulk was going to make it rain, which is the great. And there were other good lines. Crystal got drunk. So what the story on this was, Alicia's got to have her bachelorette party and she invites some of her friends from the art community, I don't know, and then Medusa, Crystal, She-Hulk, and
Sue.
So they're all gonna go, and her friend's apparently not that good of a friend because she's like, "Oh, where should we bring the blind girl? Oh, let's bring her to fucking a strip club." Like what?
Well,
can't see.
Well, she can touch them.
No, they said right up front, no touching.
Oh, yeah, but it's women who do that.
Well, yeah, it's not the fucking... Like, she even said later she wasn't into it. Well, I'm not familiar with who this was, but there's some girl from Atlantis who is obsessed with Mole Man. So she decided to attack the... Because since Mole Man was lonely, his enemies could not find love. So... She had to stop the wedding because she couldn't let any of Mole Man's enemies,
be happy.
Be happy. So there's a lot of jokes. Like Crystal, they said she can't hold her liquor and she got drunk like right away. So she's talking all slurred and She-Hulk is all angry because she didn't get to see anybody's dick. And, they do all the fighting. And then who stops the fighting? Fucking Mole Man. He shows up and he explains, cause he loved Alicia too. But he explained that since he loves her and he knows she loves Thing, he couldn't stand in her way. He wouldn't want anything to interrupt her happiness because he loves her so much.
What a wuss.
So I thought it was sweet. So yeah, he took her away.
You could tell which one of us is married and which one is single.
It's a very sweet message. And then the next one was Ben goes to see Puppet Master because he's Alicia's dad to get his blessing to marry them. Mm-hmm. And shockingly, he gives it.
No, at first you can tell.
Wait, I'm explaining, damn it. Let me finish.
All right, big baby.
I was all ready to go and you cut me off? He gives his blessing, but they cut to Alicia, and she's got one of the fucking puppets with the magic puppet juice, and it turns out she was controlling her dad and just made Ben think he gave his blessing. Mm-hmm. But he really didn't, because he would never do that.
Now, like I was going to mention earlier before I was so rudely interrupted.
You interrupted me, fucker.
Like, first he was going to lay into Ben. Like, he's like, why the hell would I ever give you her hand in marriage? And then all of a sudden, he just does a complete 180 and just says, oh, yeah, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, there was also a funny moment when he's like, you know, oh, if I just had a little bit of that clay, I could, you know, take over the president and make him nuke everyone or do this or that. And Ben's like, wow, that's a little dark. We're always just worried you'd like take over Blastar or something. And it's like, thinking about it, it's like, yeah, if Puppet Master wasn't such a fucking tool, he would actually be a really threatening villain.
There's a lot of villains that'd be like that. Purple Man. But because it's...
Yeah, the worst thing Purple Man ever did was rape Jessica Jones.
Yeah. It's like, but because it's comics, you have to have the more over villains be the ones that are deadly, whereas opposed to the ones that realistically, if you think about it for a while, but it's comics.
Yeah. It's comics. It's okay.
It's normal for it to not make sense. Whoop.
Whoop.
I put on the good show.
There was a cute, like, little cartoony story about Puppet Master.
There was a lot of Puppet Master in this book, by the way.
I forgot the ending of the first story, which is the best one. It was actually really sweet. So their limo driver was a Latverian guy, mm-hmm, who was like a dick, and they just thought it was because, oh, he's from Latveria. But it turns out it was his 30th wedding anniversary, and since Alicia didn't really dig the strip club, she decided what they should do is take out this dude and his wife for their wedding anniversary. And they like went ice skating and went to a really nice restaurant and did nice things, floated in bubbles up to the Statue of Liberty. Like it was really nice. It showed that she's a very nice person.
Good for Ben.
Yeah. And there was another story too, I think, but I can't remember.
Yeah. Neither can I. It couldn't have been that important because I don't remember. All right, that was Fantastic Four wedding special. Obviously, the main story was by Gail Simone, so it was, in fact, good. But the fact of the matter is, this was not the issue where they get married. And I do like at the end of this, they did say, not like other books where where it's a swerve or anything, where they're legitimately going to get married. So
yeah, I think they actually will get married.
Yeah, I think so too. And in fact, they may do a gimmick where something happens at the wedding, but you know, at the end of the book, they're going to get married.
Yeah, probably.
And obviously, it's a landmark 650th issue, so you know, it's going to be a collector's item for those that still collect. All right, we have Flash and Batman Who Laughs. Where do we go from here?
Flash.
Okay. Flash, number 60, writer Joshua Williamson, art by Rafael Sandoval.
So he shows up with the new superpower person, and of course they fight, because
comics.
That's what happens. But we find out she, Fuerza, is not a villain. She is fighting against the evil police captain who has taken over Corto Maltese, and she has her people she's trying to help in the mountains. Which I was going to do a World of Warcraft reference there, but I'm not. So they're in the mountains, and she's hanging out with Flash, and Flash is like, hey, you should teach me about Strength Force. And she doesn't fucking know anything. She points out that she can lift up a tank very easily, but when she does that, she doesn't have as much invulnerability. And she doesn't feel she's tested the limits of her powers yet. And she also has a gravity aspect to her powers, which she doesn't use because she said, oh, strength is enough. So I don't know what he hopes to learn from her. Because she only just got these powers, and she clearly doesn't know shit. But the evil police captain, he calls someone, Gorilla Grodd, maybe. I don't know. He is the Still Force.
No, it's someone who has the Sage Force.
Yeah, which we don't know who that is. He calls him, and he gives him a little gun on his arm that he can shoot bubbles out of. But the bubbles turn into, like, little monsters.
Yes.
And this somehow lets Flash know that it is the Sage Force in a gun. So they have to deal with that, and then the issue ends. The other side thing was the Gemini twins are, they're like on a train, and they're talking about it, and they're like, hey, shouldn't we be going to Corto Maltese because that's where Flash is? And he's like, no, because this way he will fall into our trap.
I love them because they are so mustache-twirling villains.
They're Team Rocket.
Basically, yeah. But they're actually competent, so.
Well, yeah, but if they had a cat, they'd be Team Rocket. And there was another story about a Trickster and, I guess, two Trickster-like people are trying to get rid of Captain Cold. They're going to kill him because he's fucking with their plans because Flash is gone from Central City.
So that's interesting.
It'll save every one of us.
Bow, bow, bow. Flash, I love you, but when you have 36 hours to save the world. That lyric always cracked me up because I'm like, oh, well, we got some time then.
Yeah.
I mean, how hard could it be?
We're almost done with the show now.
Yeah, I know. That's the sad part. And I already looked at next week's books. I may have ample time to
covering Sandman next week, guys. And by the way, I read. I didn't have to read Season of Mist again. I will now, because I've read it so many times. But I read Dream Country again. Fantastic.
All right, I'll give it to you.
Well, it's four different stories that aren't connected. So,
is the art in all of them good?
Yes, actually, and it's different in every single story.
Because I started reading.
Yeah, you didn't like the Sam Keith art. I get it. Don't harp on it.
I will.
It's a different artist in every story, and the artist fits every story.
Do I have to read all this preamble stuff?
Hmm. No. Because that's it's only one thing, and it's just like it's a foreword written by someone.
Because remember, I didn't do that stuff with Watchmen either. And I understand our
Doomsday Clock. That was different. Well, the owl shit really didn't relate much, but no, this is different. It's literally just the foreword to the book.
Okay.
It doesn't impact the story.
All right. In our final book this week, Batman Who Laughs, number 1 of 6, writer Scott Snyder, art by, now I have this as just Jacques.
Oh yeah, Jacques is back. So,
can you explain to me Jacques? You seem to know a lot more than I do. I just see Jacques.
We've read other books by him.
We have?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, there's a fucking video of Jushin Thunder Liger at a baseball game.
Oh yeah, Coughlin posted that.
It's fucking. Did you see my with all the mascots? What is he gonna wrestle them? He's throwing a pitch to a mascot.
Did you see Coughlin's comment and then mine? He's like,
we almost lost the war. We didn't almost lose a war. There was no point where America was losing to Japan.
And I commented, I'm like, I'm sure if they had more Thunder Ligers, they probably would have won.
They could have just sent him. I've never seen anything like this in American baseball. Japanese baseball is fucking awesome.
No, the thing is they do that with the mascots. I know they do that with college sports. I don't know about actual professional sports, but they do wacky stuff with the mascots all the time.
Do you think the guy in the mascot uniform, is he a wrestler?
He didn't take a bump.
He did.
No, he didn't.
He just clotheslined him. He took a bump right there, and then he put him in the surfboard.
You don't need to be a worker to take that.
Well, he took a bump for a clothesline, though.
It wasn't a good bump.
It's pretty good. He's got a big fucking head on.
Yeah. Maybe it was DDP.
Meow, 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 meow.
They need to give that to a gimmick to someone in WWE that they're... Oh, no, they already did that with Natty. A cat person?
They did. She also had a farting gimmick. She's had a lot of bad gimmicks.
I know. Where she was a cuck with Titus O'Neil. Where she was cuck.
That was never a gimmick. That was a story we created. Whatever happened to him?
He's still on TV.
Oh, is he?
They broke up his group, Titus Worldwide, for no reason.
Well, they weren't over.
But I'm saying, but what good did you get out of breaking them up?
Titus Worldwide was Titus O'Neil, who was terrible. Apollo Crews, who they didn't push, and then Dana Brooke, who played Alexandra York.
God, remember she was supposed to be the next coming.
Yeah, and then they found out she couldn't fucking wrestle. Oops.
Like, even by WWE standards, she couldn't wrestle.
Then again, Carmella couldn't wrestle, and she got a run.
She wasn't anywhere near as bad as Dana Brooke.
Dana Brooke could do the cartwheel, though.
Carmella was competent bad, whereas Dana Brooke was, like, first day of wrestling school bad.
Carmella is also a butterface.
This is true. I don't know what John Cena sees in her, but...
I thought John Cena was a Nikki Bella.
I'm starting to... Remember that for a while people were spreading that rumor that they were together?
No.
Yeah. Marvel 2K, try to get that over.
Yeah, but Dave also said that Cody Rhodes leaving WWE was a work.
Again, not Big Dave, Dave Meltzer, but R. Dave.
Yeah, R. Dave.
He had it on good authority that he...
Hey, guys, I'm talking to R. Dave again, by the way.
Oh, yeah, they made nice.
He apologized to me.
Yeah, he was probably going through stuff, and he took it on Alex for a reason.
And I don't hold... After not talking to him for 3 months, I don't hold grudges.
Yeah, I know. If it sounds like we're stalling for time, it's because we have one book left, so...
Yeah. The Batman Who Laughs by Jacques.
Well, artist Jacques. Writer Scott Snyder.
Whatever. Yeah, so this book didn't really make a lot of sense for a large part.
Yeah, for the longest time, I just assumed this was taking place in another universe. And
okay, I figured out what happened by the end. So the Batman Who Laughs escaped somehow, and Batman spent some time explaining who he is. And then, like, dead Bruce Wayne's and kept turning up. I want to point one thing out because it's really fucking stupid, but I want to wait on it. So, issue goes on and on and on, and stuff happens. And finally, in the end, the Joker shows up. Not the Batman Who Laughs Joker, but just the Joker. And shoots himself in the head, which releases the Joker toxin in his heart, which it Jokerizes our Batman. Now, this is the big problem I have with this. Batman was questioned, why haven't you ever killed Joker? And he said, because I'm worried that he has a singular Joker serum in his heart that if I kill him, it will be released. And whoever kills him will become the Joker. The Joker toxin does not turn you into the Joker. It makes your skin white and makes you smile really big and die.
You laugh to death, yes.
Yeah, it does not turn you into the fucking Joker. Well, now,
I think what they're trying to specify, this is a different variation of it that would turn who, because they did try to put over the fact
did that in Justice League.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did that. You remember that issue we read when it was all when it was him and Lex going back and forth, and he like temporarily turned the other Legion of Doom members into Joker people.
Mm-hmm.
Because Joker's a fucking chemist now, apparently. But my other question was, okay, so if that's the problem with Joker, why don't you just fucking shoot him? Because then you wouldn't be in range. Also, doesn't Batman have the fucking serum for... Because that's how this is going to end, by the way. He was in the fucking Batcave. Well, Alfred's going to go get the Joker serum and shoot him up with it, and he'll be fine.
Well, then what does that do with for Joker, then? Like, he's not going to die.
That's not our Joker. Oh, okay. They had, like, three Bruce Waynes. They had... Because they had Batman with guns. They had dead Bruce Wayne. Then there was this Joker. There was another Joker in Arkham who was, like, a fake Joker.
Yeah, because I'm like, they felt the need to put over the fact that the Joker in the jail wasn't even a Joker.
Yeah, the Batman who laughs, who has been, as far as we know, in chains... tied up for since the end of that shit series. He apparently got a bunch of Jokers and Batmans from other dimensions and saved them for this point. I'm going to continue reading this because I hate it. I'm going to hate read this.
I it's important enough to where I think we should read
it. It's not important. Nothing's going to come out of this.
I think something.
I'm telling you right now. Batman's not going to die. The Batman who laughs is not important. Nothing will come of this.
I think so.
Jeff Johns is writing a three Jokers story. That will be important.
Well, I think he already wrote it.
Jeff Johns is writing it.
I think it came out when we weren't doing the show.
No, because it was a series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that will be important. This will not be important, but I will continue reading it because I think it's a mini.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, that's going to do it for this week's books. Let's move on to our next and final segment, next week's books. Oh, God. I usually let songs go on for like 30 seconds, but that I had to put my foot
you know what's You know what's funny about that? It's, you remember when Jim Johnson came out and he was like downing the new group who does all WWE's music?
Yeah.
And it's like this song, if you listen to it, it sounds like so many other fucking WWE songs he wrote. Like he has a type of sick. Like if you slow this down... it actually sounds like Big Show's music.
Well, someone was like, I think it was at Botchamania, was like the Roman Reigns / Shield theme and Taz's theme. They're the same song.
Yeah, they're the same. It's like this motherfucker was not he stopped being good a long time ago, but he's downing other guys. Listen, motherfucker, these guys wrote Bobby Roode's theme song, so fuck you.
Is that really what they want to hang their head on?
That fucking theme song is what got him over.
Yeah, but I like the Revival's theme the best.
Revival's theme is fucking amazing. We go hard all day and night. All the people in the party are...
Say yeah.
That fucking song rules. Or what about Nakamura's music?
I don't like the new one with that Japanese band.
You're not supposed to like the new one. That's the point of it.
Well, it's not good.
But it doesn't matter because if you get a crowd of smarks, they still sing along to it. Okay. They just ignore the fact that there's a Japanese guy rapping over it.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Japanese rap is hard to follow, man.
Well, any kind of rap where you don't understand what they're saying is hard.
That's not always true though, because you remember What was that white guy rap? Informa.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, people like that.
That's true.
All right, next week's books. I'm pick Klaus and the Crying Snowman, number one.
You're joking, right?
No, it's fucking Grant Morrison writing Santa Claus again, and we're in the Christmas season, motherfucker.
All right.
Klaus and the Crying, and I get to say Klaus, is better than to leave it on the desk of a clock. I got to fucking rewatch that, man. Not the whole series, just that episode.
Okay.
Okay, scrolling.
Keep scrolling.
I'm not going to read Aquaman 43 because I read I know it's like Aquaman comes back after being gone for no issues, but it's like Aquaman has amnesia and wakes up on an island. It's like, I'm not reading that.
Starts talking to a volleyball.
Aquaman. Batman 61.
Yes.
Have to read that. Let's read Freedom Fighters, number one.
I was about to say, I was going to recommend that. That's Robert Venditti, so it might be good.
That's, yeah, I looked at who wrote it.
I kind of don't want to read Justice League because they're doing all the Hawkman stuff.
I almost want to see what they do with... And Martian Manhunter's on the team again. But no, we can skip Justice League. It's okay. We'll go back to it when they're done with Hawkman.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny, we read the Aquaman stuff, which in theory I liked
it though.
The thing is, we only kept reading it because it had that B story of Joker and Lex and the Legion of Doom.
Well, yeah, but I like Aquaman, so.
Freaking Homer.
I don't have anything against Kelly Sue DeConnick, but Middle West, number two.
Was that the book we liked? I forget.
Yes, it was the Scotty Young written.
Oh, that's right. That was
the
great.
Weird thing about the kid whose dad fucking tries to beat him and then he turns into a monster.
That's right.
Dead Man Logan, number two.
Yeah. Say it to my face.
Alex Riley, number one. I can't believe you missed his second thing when he was raging Alex Riley in NXT.
No.
And he really wanted to fight because Kevin Owens was burying him for being shit on commentary.
Well, because he was.
And then... Regal told him, you can't be a wrestler and be on commentary. And he's like, well, I just need a shot at Kevin Owens then. And if I want to be a wrestler. And if I don't beat him, you could fire me. And then Kevin Owens beat him. He never got a win. It was great.
And of course, because I missed it the first time around, Seasons of Mist and Dream Country.
Is that it? I wasn't done looking at Marvel.
That's what. Well, you by all means.
I don't see anything. Yeah, that's fine. We read Sandman.
So we have five regular books, and then it's four issues
of trades.
Well, one trade is just four issues, and then the other one's like what, six, seven.
Season of Mist is longer because it's a full storyline and Dream. So I'll give a little history lesson on that. Sandman, he started doing something very interesting where he would complete a storyline and then he would do a few just single issue stories, which would come back in some way. Like of the stories in this, quite a few of the characters come back, but you don't have to read these stories to understand the characters. It adds a little bit. So it's kind of cool.
And then you say it to my face.
And Ed, when I was reading it, two of the stories, I fucking love the second, the cat story and the element girl story are fantastic. and the first story is like a really good horror story, and then the third story is the third story is Shakespeare and his group of actors performing Midsummer Night's Dream for the first time, but they're performing it for the Kingdom of Faerie, which is funny because it has human actors playing characters and the characters are watching them do the play, which is fun. But they often call Midsummer Night's Dream Shakespeare's, you know, oh, this is his best play. It's really not. It's good, but it's not.
It's a hot
best.
Take.
It's not Hamlet, which everyone knows Hamlet is his best play.
Boom.
And there's some fucking guy who listens like, oh, Macbeth, Othello, fuck you. Hamlet is the best.
Yeah, the one guy listening, screw you.
Yeah, fuck you, motherfucker. The one listening who reads something other than comics.
Yeah. Well, even I don't read anything other than comics.
I know, you're so... That's why I'm trying to get you to read Sandman. I'm trying to give you some culture.
Yeah, that's I can tell you right now that's a losing proposition.
It's something that is respected by people outside comics.
Well, you do know I live in California, so...
What does that mean?
It means you're fighting a losing battle.
What, California has no culture?
No. No, it doesn't.
It's a big, varied state.
I live in Los Angeles County.
There's a lot of people there.
You would maybe have a case if I was in Northern California. Because there is, in fact, some depth, but this is L.A. We're a very
They make movies there.
We're a very superficial people, and we don't read.
Isn't that where The Room was made?
You're not making your case for it.
That's a modern-day classic. It's amazing. The Room is the greatest movie ever made. Why don't we have any clips from The Room? I should fucking, instead of wrestling music next week, I should just play that song from The Room.
Yeah, in this same show where you put over Hamlet, you put over The Room being the best movie of all time.
Well, Hamlet was a play, and The Room is a movie.
And according to you, it's the movie.
The greatest bad movie ever made.
Not Citizen Kane.
I don't know, in fucking Battlefield Earth. Battlefield Earth is pretty fucking amazing, too.
Not Godfather.
Well, okay, Godfather 2 is better than The Godfather, by the way.
Not Citizen Kane.
But the last 5 minutes, Citizen Kane is not... Citizen Kane is interesting to look at, but it's not like a good movie.
It's
Citizen Kane is an important movie.
It's certainly not The Room.
Which is, oh god, no. The Room looks like a movie that was made before Citizen Kane. Due to the complete lack of, actually, The Room, from a directorial standpoint, is technically more impressive than Clerks. Because Kevin Smith's first movie was he just put the camera down and people talked. So, you know, at least the camera kind of moves in The Room.
I'm sure he paid an actual cameraman.
Kevin Smith?
No,
Tommy Wiseau?
Tommy Wiseau.
He paid lots of cameramen, according to Disaster Artist. In fact, he paid two cameramen to film in two different kinds of camera.
Did they ever explain how he got all of his money?
No. In fact, the book that movie is sort of based on, it goes into a lot more detail. And I mean, fucking Highmark, he lived with the guy for years and had no fucking idea where his money came from. But occasionally he would disappear like 3 months at a time. And then he'd just come back and he'd have money again. So I think he might have been a Latavian prince.
Cool.
Like he'd go home and like, hi, Dad.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Can you give me some money? Things aren't going well at the job. I didn't get the promotion.
Oh, hi, doggy.
Hi, doggy. He fucking pets Lockjaw. Oh, God. Why wasn't he in that Inhumans TV show as one of the Inhumans?
It couldn't have been any worse for Tommy Wiseau.
It's like, what powers does he have? What fucking powers does he? Listen to him talk.
Just look at him.
Hi, Karnak. Anyway, how's your sex life? Fucking love that movie. I gotta watch it again. I watched that with Lauren, like, it wasn't when it was at peak, but it was close. It was like when it first came out on DVD. And we rented it, and I told her, hey, I heard this movie's, like, really good.
Oh, you jerk.
And we got about 10 minutes into it, and she goes, okay, don't fuck with me. She's like, is this serious? Like, is this – are they going to point out that this is – like, is this a comedy? And I go, okay, I got to be honest with you. I got this because people said it's the worst movie ever made. I don't know if it's serious or not. And as you get further in the movie, you realize, no, he didn't know this was funny. I know it's funny.
You need to go to a screening.
They don't have those here. I live in Dubuque.
God, they're so fun.
I could probably go to Chicago to see one, but I'm not going to go all the way to Chicago so people can fucking get themselves over watching a movie.
It's like watching The Room in front of the NXT crowd.
No, it's fucking the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's the same. Like, they try to make it like that, except you could make the argument that Rocky Horror Picture Show isn't bad. Like, it's a fucking musical, so it's got that going against it. But as far as musicals go, it's kind of good. Whereas The Room it's terrible on every level except being funny.
How dare
you? Because it is genuinely funny.
How dare you? I won't have you speak well of You Are My Love.
How are you, Mom? Oh, I have cancer. Fuck. You just. Oh, but anyway. What? We're not going to go back to that?
Can I kiss you?
Oh, God, the retarded kid?
Yeah.
But they never say he's supposed kidding. To be like a little kid, but he's like 25.
Yeah. Just kidding.
You're so beautiful. They should have had a scene where he's jerking off using her dress or something. Make the movie. No, because even that, like, that's not funny. It's kind of creepy.
Or when she gets the dress, the crowd is like, I can't eat this. And when she's coming down the stairs, they're like, boom, boom, boom.
Oh, that's me. Oh, Lisa, you're so beautiful. I'm just watching it, and I'm like, I'd be a dick, but she's really not. Like, no. Like she's not even, like, normal girl hot.
No. I mean, she's kind of cute, but, like, she's a little heavy.
No, it's not that. It's just like her. No, she's. I judge it on the scale of are they hotter than my wife, and she's not. And like my wife, I'm married to her, so by definition, she's a normal chick.
Ooh, she's not famous. You better hope she's not listening to this.
I think my wife is beautiful, but still, she is a normal woman. She's not an actress, so actresses should be more attractive than my wife if they're playing the role of an attractive woman. And she wasn't. And it's not like he couldn't have hired a hot chick. Like, he had money. And she's not a good actress either. So, like, why did she get the part? Mark is the best actor in that movie. Well, Mark and the guy with the gun. Where's my fucking money, Danny?
Yeah.
He's fucking great. They should have given him Tommy's role.
Should have.
Man, we just talked about The Room for a long fucking time.
You can never talk about The Room too much?
Probably not. It was better than Dark Knight's Metal.
That's low. Oh, did I tell you? I bought the Dark Knight's Metal vinyl album.
How does it have a vinyl album?
I don't know. I bought it, and I'm like, I have to listen to this.
Is it all Batman-themed songs?
I don't know. I hope that's what it is, because that sounds cool, but I don't think it is. I think they just licensed some metal songs, and they're like, this is Dark Knight's Metal.
Do you know they released a Max Music CD when the Max comic was coming out?
Nice.
And it had – no, it wasn't. It had, like, songs about all the characters. It's like, famously horrible, but – people are like, well, at least they tried something. And it's like, yeah, but who the fuck would buy it? Like, who would buy that?
People with disposable incomes.
I guess. It probably didn't cost a lot. I mean, it was a CD. But...
Well, I presume this is just a, they just licensed a bunch of, like, C-level groups, and they're like, oh.
Hey, write a song about the Max.
I don't even think the songs are about anything that happens in the story.
No, they are. Like, there's a song called, like, The Max Something, and then Mr. Gone. Like, they actually wrote songs about the characters in the fucking thing.
Like, at least they did a vinyl of Young Animal, and at least that sort of makes sense when you consider who's in charge of that imprint.
Oh, did you see DC's doing a new imprint and Bendis is writing like half the books?
Yeah.
And one of them is just Bendis is doing like Young Justice and then he's doing, I think it was Naomi. So Bendis is creating his first DC character. So whatever that character is, I'm sure we'll be seeing a fucking lot of her. She's going to be shoehorned into every
book. She's
going to
be his Luke Cage.
She might be black. I'm not sure.
She is black. She's black.
Because I said there, I saw that there was a black girl and I didn't recognize her, but she wasn't wearing a costume. She was just like this black girl. And I'm like, well, I don't recognize her, but I don't read every DC book. But then I'm like, oh, but it's Bendis.
I was disappointed what he was doing with Wonder Twins because I was like, oh, he's going to do it like Marvel where it's like, it's a tongue in cheek kind of thing, like burying how stupid they are. But I've seen all the covers. And it kind of looks like they're taking it seriously. And I was like, ah.
I don't think Wonder Twins have to be, like, I mean, it's a gimmick. It's like one person can turn into any animal. That's cool. And one person can turn into water water-related things.
It's liquid, gas, or solid.
Oh. Wonder Twin powers activate. Form of a tiger. Form of an ice cube.
A tidal. Well, sometimes they'd be cool, like a tidal wave.
Yeah, but what do you do once the tidal wave crashes? Like, are you just fucked?
It's a tidal wave. It.
Right, but eventually it's gonna stop. Like.
Yeah, but well, let me know next time you get hit by a tidal wave. Let me know.
No, I'm saying if you're fighting villains, like, what if they can fly? They fly over the tidal wave, and then what do? You can't turn around. You're a fucking wave.
Maybe you can turn into another wave. A bigger wave.
Not unless fucking your tiger sister comes over and touches you. Not in like a gross way.
If it was Marvel and it was the Ultimates, that's what they would do.
Oh, they would totally be fucking.
Yeah.
Jeff Loeb doesn't get to write comics anymore. After that, his career kind of went away.
And Scarlet Witch creeping on freaking robots. Ugh. That was funny. All right. It's been about an hour plus. Let's wrap this bad boy up. We got nothing else really to talk about. All right. So from all of us at HalfGuard.com, thanks for checking out this week's show. And as always, check you guys out next week. Adios.
Bye.